This is a Dragon Blazer production, and I am the Little Boogeyman. All
right. Welcome to Pro Wrestling Apologist Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Atkins. And with me today, extremist Stephen Rayburn.
Hello.
How's things?
Things are all right. I mean, fine.
It's the Rona, so yeah. Just everything just is what it is.
Yeah.
So today was the big day. Well, I guess this is coming out on Sunday, so I don't know why I'm saying it that way. This week was the big week. The big little week.
The big little week.
Where you interviewed Little Boogeyman. That episode is up now. Go over there to the Rage and Blaze show. Very good interview. Very interesting interview.
I thought so, too.
A year ago, I would have never thought, hey, I want to know what the Little Boogeyman has to say. I want to know the Little Boogeyman story. But now that I've heard it, I'm glad I have. It's a very interesting story.
Yeah, he was a talker. I really enjoyed talking to him. He had a lot of cool things. Loved hearing his story about The Rock.
Yeah.
It's probably my favorite
part.
And his
story about Donald Trump was very interesting, too. But you can listen to this all on the Rage and Blaze show. Steven.
Yeah.
You know what I'm thinking about?
What are you thinking about?
I think maybe you should hit me with a little...
PWA. WTF. Hall of... Fame?
That's right. So, Steven, I'm going to go ahead and take this one from you this week.
Aww.
Is that all right?
Aww.
It's okay if I have an induction this week.
Stealing my segment.
Well, if I'm going to steal it from you, I'm going to do it your way. And I'm gonna have a little bit of trivia.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna do it your way. Okay. I have 167 questions to ask you. All right. Let's see if you can figure out what wrestler I'm referring to. Question number one out of 167. What number comes after 6 but before 8?
7?
Yep. Okay, you got it. Man, you got one first guess. Right, I still don't need these anymore. All right. So, you're right, 7. In 1999, Dustin Rhodes had grown tired of his famous Gold Dust gimmick and had wanted a bit of a change of pace. He wanted to go back to just being Dusty Rhodes. Or Dustin Rhodes, I mean. I don't know why I typed as Dusty. Dustin Rhodes. He wanted to be the natural again. So Dustin jumped ship to WWF rival WCW, where his dad, the legendary Dusty Rhodes, worked. Unfortunately, just as he arrived, his dad had just been fired from the company by Eric Bischoff. And Dustin's main reason for leaving WWE was to distance himself from the Gold Dust character. Well, WCW had other plans. Introducing 7. WCW's attempt to combine Goldust and The Undertaker into one creepy cornball package. He was built up as this mystical character, shown in vignettes to be a supernatural type with magical powers. These vignettes teased 7's debut, where he was standing ominously in the rain outside of a child's bedroom window. His face and head completely painted white. Very creepy. Apparently the TNT network saw these vignettes and put the kibosh on it. Supposedly the character was dropped after Turner Standards and Practice expressed concern that this gimmick could be misinterpreted as a child abductor.
What?
WCW went ahead with the gimmick anyway. After weeks of build-up, Rhodes made his grand entrance, complete with mystical levitation. Smoke, mist, flames, and an ominous theme. It was basically like The Undertaker's entrance, but he floated to the ring instead of walking to the ring. After this amazing spectacle, Seven finally took the microphone, and this is his promo.
So I'm guessing he wasn't in WCW much longer after that.
It's still debated to this day if this was a work shoot or if Dustin was going to business for himself. Most likely it was a work shoot as a result of TNT's child abduction panic. But I'm sure Dustin was only speaking his truth in this. It felt like a very real promo.
Yeah, it did.
Either way, the Seven gimmick was immediately retired, and Dustin went on to wrestle under his name, Dustin Rhodes, for a short while, as this was toward the end of WCW. As we know, he eventually came back to WWE's Goldust, and today wrestled in AEW as Dustin Rhodes. So, that's our new induction into the PWA WTF Hall of Fame. All right. So, Steven, we're all familiar with ECW, right?
Extreme Championship Wrestling. Never heard of it.
Oh. Really threw me off there. It's the popular misfit wrestling organization in the 90s that was always nipping at the heels of WWF and WCW. WWE acquired the rights to Extreme Championship Wrestling's trademarks. and Video Library in 2003, and later began reintroducing ECW through content from the ECW Library and a series of books, which include the release of the Rise and Fall of ECW documentary. This and all ECW merchandise made huge money for WWE, and Vincent K. McMahon loves money. This prompted WWE to organize ECW One Night Stand and ECW Reunion pay-per-view in 2005. It was a smash. The success of the event motivated WWE to organize a second one, a second One Night Stand, the following year. With peak interest in the ECW product, WWE began exploring the possibility of reviving the promotion full-time. It was announced in May, and then finally in June of 2006, ECW debuted on Sci-Fi as a third brand standing next to Raw and SmackDown. Vowing to be different than the other brands, the men were called Extremists instead of Superstars, the women Vixens instead of Divas. Paul Heyman was the ECW representative, going back to his title in the original ECW. So now that brings us to the very first episode of ECW on Sci-Fi. Steven, you remember ECW on Sci-Fi?
Yeah, I remember it. I don't remember, I don't think I really watched it much, but
I did.
I remember it being on, and being on Sci-Fi. Well, I might have watched an episode
Steven,
or two.
Steven, have you got your popcorn?
Sure.
I put some thumbtacks in that shit. Let's get extreme.
Oh, no.
All right. We are going to watch and review the first episode of ECW on Sci-Fi, the third brand of WWE.
All right.
All right. So Taz and Joey Styles are the announcers. And Paul Heyman comes out in his ECW hat, hiding his skullet. He introduces the new WWE champion, Rob Van Dam, who had just beat John Cena for the title at One Night Stand. RVD says John Cena said he's going to show up tonight and invites him there to celebrate. Heyman comes out and hands RVD his new ECW title. He puts the ECW title on one shoulder, WWE title on the other one. Says he'll cherish it, and that's the real title, the ECW title. He's also keeping the WWE title because this one spins. Whee! He spins it. And then Edge comes out with Lita at his side. He says he's looking forward to facing RVD, tries the whole respect angle, but then spears him instead. Cena comes out and joins the brawl. Edge leaves. Cena decks Heyman. They go to a commercial. Come back with Heyman hyping up the ECW locker room. Heyman says he's bringing the Misfit crew to Raw, the ECW crew. Then we go to the ECW zombie coming to the ring. I don't know if you remember the ECW zombie.
I do now.
He cuts a promo. He says, And he goes on a little bit, saying similar things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that he did say that.
Yeah.
Then Sandman's music hits. Not his OG ECW music, which was just them illegally playing Metallica's Enter Sandman, but just like the generic rock music. And the match starts. Steven, give me the play-by-play for this match.
Well, first Sandman comes in the ring, and he takes a kendo stick that he has in his hand and whacks the zombie over the head with a kendo stick. The zombie goes down, and then he starts whacking him some more on his stomach with the kendo stick.
Noted headshots. This was before the Benoit incident.
Ah, yes. There was some headshots.
Headshots are still a thing.
Not to mention when he comes down the aisle, he's drinking beer and repeatedly slamming his beer in his head, causing bleeding. he gets back up and then does a Russian leg sweep to the zombie
and wins the match right away. That's it.
Uses a kendo stick to just push down on the zombie's shoulders and pins him. Then after the match, just beats the hell out of him some more.
Yeah, some more beat downs. Yeah,
drinks some more beer. Good times.
I was very disappointed by this match because I personally felt like the zombie had some amazing mic skills. So I was expecting a little something more from him.
Expecting a little bit more out of him.
Yeah, he seems like a star.
Yeah. All right, going on to the next thing. All right, so we have Kelly Kelly. She says she's an exhibitionist. She wants to get naked. And she's going to do that tonight.
All right.
She apparently doesn't realize that she's on cable television and standards and practice are not going to approve of it. But you do you, Kelly. Kelly. They recap a match from One Night Stand, Jerry Lawler versus Taz. Fans are chanting, "You suck dick at Jerry." Sure. The bell rings. Joey Styles slides in the ring and jumps on Lawler's back. Taz just gets a choke on Lawler and taps him out instantly. Just ends like that. So then we go to Kurt Angle. Comes out to the ring with that remix theme song of his that my brother Andrew is always a big fan of. And he's facing Justin Credible. Steven?
Yeah, so once again, this is barely a match.
Yeah. Not much wrestling on this show.
Not yet. I mean, even the...
We're like halfway through it, too. Over halfway through it.
Even the match that they showed on One Night Stand was short.
They just recap the entire match, which was like 10 seconds.
Yeah. So Kurt comes in and just starts attacking Credible ferociously.
This was a fun, like, brutal Kurt Angle. This is like kind of a change, you know, to try to fit with the ECW brand. This was like this new and improved Kurt Angle. I really liked Kurt Angle in this era. Not to say this was much of a match, but I just love the brutality of Kurt Angle at this time.
I feel bad because I remember Justin Credible is kind of a big part of the old ACW, and they just kind of job him here.
Yeah.
But he starts attacking him ferociously, and just dominates him with strikes and German suplexes.
Doing like some brutal move where he was like grabbing his lower jaw, its top jaw, and just like stretching his mouth open.
Yeah, he was just, it was brutal. Brutal is a good word for it. He just throws him out of the ring. He would do German suplexes, but he would pick them up and just leave them up in the air for just a few seconds and then drop them.
Yeah.
And Credible got absolutely no offense in this match. And, it ends with Kurt just choking him out for the submission win.
And the announcers make sure to point out that choke holds are legal in ECW, but not in WWE.
Yeah, just like the kendo stick was legal yes. for Sandman, but not in WWE.
So after the match, Kurt Angle cuts a little promo where he challenges Randy Orton to Extreme Rules. And he says, "You're looking at the new ECW."
Yeah.
And moving on. Okay. So we go to another Paul Heyman promo. He says everything he had planned for this show is out the window tonight, which sounds like something Vince does with Raw every week. He says he's going to have an extreme battle royal tonight with all weapons legal. The winner will face John Cena at Vengeance. Then we go to Kelly Kelly, she said she's going to show us all of her assets.
Yeah.
Next. Okay, Kelly, you really want to. So they recap the mess from earlier, and now Kelly Kelly is coming out to the ramp. She's waving at everyone, and she starts striptease. She starts taking off articles of clothing. Things are getting hot and heavy. Little kids in the crowd putting their popcorn in their laps to cover their boners. Their dads are next to them. Like, I remember when I had to hide my boner during Sable's same exact gimmick a few years ago at Fully Loaded 1998. Kelly just She just does it. She just takes her clothes off, gets down to bra and panties. That's it. Just kind of strip for a bit.
Yeah, she...
No substance. She just...
Came to wrestling
to be... Up and decided to get naked.
Came to wrestling to be a stripper.
So, if you've noticed the theme to this first episode of ECW, almost no wrestling whatsoever. So then we get to the next to the Battle Royal. We got... I think I have the list here proper. Tommy Dreamer, Sabu, Amish Roadkill, Danny Dory, Stevie Richards, Al Snow, the FBI consisting of Little Guido, Big Guido, and Tommy Mamaluke. Is that his name?
Maybe.
Balls Mahoney, and The Big Show was the last one to come out. And the match begins, Steven.
This is essentially all the Big Show.
Yeah, it's pretty much just Big Show.
Big Show starts just tossing everyone out of the ring.
This match is not nearly as fun as what it sounded like it would have been.
Yeah, I was excited about it, but yeah, it was mostly Big Show just dominating everyone for the most part. He starts it off by tossing everybody through the ring, through the middle rope, so nobody's out. Shortly after, everyone starts ganging up on Big Show, hitting him with every weapon they can find. You know, kendo sticks, there was a bunch of trash can lids in the ring, and just everyone using weapons on him. First person to go out is, Al Snow. Al Snow is in the ring, showing everyone a head.
He's got a head.
Because that is what everybody wants.
So I heard.
Yeah, yeah. And unfortunately, Big Show grabs him by the neck and just tosses him out. Then Big Show starts tossing out Danny Dory.
Sure.
Then after that, Stevie Richards.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as horrible as this is, I know this probably hurt you terribly, he grabs Amish Roadkill by his beard and tosses him out.
Mm-hmm. You can grab, I guess.
Yeah. Then he beats up on Balls Mahoney a little bit and then tosses him out. He picks up Tommy Dreamer up for a gorilla press slam and tosses him outside through a table.
Yeah.
Then he throws back-to-back Tommy Mamaluke and Small Guido.
Small Guido? It's Little Guido.
Little Guido.
Small Guido.
Little Guido, I'm sorry. And
remember that rapper Small Kim?
That's right. I like...
Small Bow Bow. Bow Wow. He was a little Small Nas X.
I get it. He was small and he was... Guido, I guess. While he's trying to toss large Guido, yes, I know it's big Guido. I just, you know, had to go the other way. He's trying to toss large or big Guido out, and big Guido is holding on to him. And Sabu takes advantage and jumps off a chair and has a chair in his hand and hits Big Show in the back, causing Big Show to go over while big Guido pulls him out. And Sabu, after Big Show literally takes everyone else out, gets the win.
Yep, he hops off of a chair and whacks Big Show with a chair, sending him over.
Yep. It was...
Sure, fine. Watching this whole show back, it sucked. I mean,
yeah,
let's
it
just be real, it sucked. It was a very weird, you just couldn't recreate, WWE just couldn't do it. They just couldn't recreate ECW. The ECW One Night Stand shows were excellent. Both of those, they were just a blast to watch. I'll have to find an excuse to rewatch them again sometime. But the reality is that it just didn't translate well to a network television show on the Sci-Fi Channel. It just didn't work. ECW, shockingly, did go on for 4 years in this, but they did drop this format. It became a very different show toward the end, became much more recognizable as the way NXT is nowadays. Only it was still being done in arenas where NXT, well, before the Rona, NXT was being done at Full Sail University. So you can kind of see where it does become NXT over the years. ECW, the WWE version of ECW, did have some really interesting champions. The list of champions we have here, obviously RVD to start, then Big Show, then Bobby Lashley, then Mr. McMahon, of course, because Mr. McMahon had to hold the ECW damn title. He took it from Bobby Lashley. It was you know, building up to that whole feud of McMahon and Lashley, where Bobby Lashley had the Donald Trump angle mixed into it, where Donald Trump had Bobby Lashley fighting for him against Vince McMahon, who had Umaga fighting for him at WrestleMania.
I vaguely remember that.
Yeah, it kind of led to it's some silliness. And then after Bobby Lashley, the title was vacated because Lashley was drafted to Raw. Then Johnny Nitro / John Morrison. I think he became John Morrison while he was holding the title. He won it as Johnny Nitro, and then he became John Morrison.
Oh, really?
Then CM Punk.
Ooh.
Then Chavo Guerrero. Then Kane. Two guys that have been covered on this show. Mark Henry, Matt Hardy, Jack Swagger, Christian, Tommy Dreamer, Christian, and we will see on part two of ECW on Sci-Fi who ends up holding the title. At the end, we are going to watch the final episode of ECW on Sci-Fi. So we just saw the first. We're going to jump forward 4 years to watch the final episode to see how different it is. And we'll cover how it transitions into NXT. And yeah, we'll see how much different of a product it is.
So, if I'm not mistaken, everyone on that list, only two of those are former ECW stars.
Tommy Dreamer
and RVD.
RVD, yeah.
Was there anyone else maybe I'm mistaken on?
No, I think that's, RVD, had it in the beginning. I'd have to look and see, maybe Chavo early in his career, but I don't think so.
One thing I noticed with this ECW is, like, it seemed like it was just showcasing WWE stars.
Pretty early on in the run of this ECW, this new show, they started phasing out all the old school ECW stars. Like, they start phasing them out pretty quick. Paul Heyman himself was fired pretty early on into this whole thing. And to be specific, Paul Heyman didn't even make it a year running it. He was fired from it in December of 2006, later that year. And he was succeeded by general manager Armando Estrada.
Okay.
And then Theodore Long. And then Tiffany. She was a Diva Search contestant. Tiffany. took over until the end. Yeah, it. We'll cover it more in part two, how different it became. I think throughout the way, it did start becoming a better product, but that's because it was really just starting to, it was just trying to become NXT. It was becoming something different. It lost its identity as ECW. I think it did become better, though, and ultimately became what NXT is now, which is phenomenal.
Yeah.
But yeah, we will cover all of that in ECW Part 2. But before we get to ECW on Sci-Fi Part 2, we're going to take a little detour. Next week, we got SummerSlam.
SummerSlam!
So we're gonna jump back to the modern product to watch SummerSlam. And then I guess the week after we got Payback, they're just popping two pay-per-views in a row there. I don't know what the story is going to be with Payback. I don't know any of the matches are going to be on it or if there's any gimmick to it or anything. I'm going to be on vacation, so I'm going to leave that one up to you. Hoping you do me proud.
I'm hoping that I'll have a special guest do the Payback with me.
Is it the little boogeyman?
If only.
Man, I wish it would be the little boogeyman. If you're going to replace me, you should replace me with someone who's somehow a little shorter than me. If you're going to replace me.
If it's who I'm hoping it is, it probably won't be.
So, guess we're just going to call it here. Steven, how about you plug your pluggables?
All right. Well, I have my Dragon Blazer Productions fan page on Facebook, Dragon Blazer Productions on Instagram, at Dragon Blazer Pro on Twitter, and I also have a new Dragon Blazer Productions YouTube page where I'm starting to put the podcast on YouTube.
Also, what was the name of Chris Holyfield's book?
Big Message short Story.
Okay. Y'all go pick that up.
Yep.
Or go over to and listen to the Rage and Blaze show to find out how you can win your own copy of it.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Couple autographed copies that are going to be given out to fans who share and like and share the post off of the Rage and Blaze.
Yep, and trust me, go listen to that interview. I know he was just like a silly little side character in wrestling, but it's a very interesting interview. Get a little bit of insight into The Rock and Donald Trump and the world of little people wrestling, and a lot more interesting than I even expected it to be.
Yeah, he's a big advocate for anti-bullying as well. We talk a little bit about that. But he just has a lot of fun backstage stories that we got to talk to him about on the Rage and Blaze show.
He seems like a really nice dude. Just a likable, nice guy.
He really was. He literally, how good of a dude this guy is. We were waiting on him to come back from training special needs kids for powerlifting.
Yeah.
That's awesome. He was training special needs kids. I mean, he's just such an awesome dude.
And he didn't seem like he was there to just shill his book. He barely even mentioned the book until
the
end.
Yeah, I know. We
was just enjoying the conversation.
Yeah, we did, and we enjoyed it. And he talked a lot, and it was great. Had a lot of fun. He helped me realize that I absolutely love The Rock. The Rock is
he did paint The Rock as a really good dude.
Yeah, he's a fantastic dude. If you had any doubts, love The Rock.
So, The Rock for president.
That's right.
So you can follow this show at PW Apologist on the Twitter. You can follow me at Craiger Atkins, or don't. Don't care. And we love professional wrestling. And sometimes that's okay.
Sometimes it is.